raising righteous revivalists in a wildly wicked world. Honestly, I just like came up with that, and it's just so random and like silly, but and a little like extreme it feels. But I just thought, why not? You know, go with that. And I was, you know, the world is kind of crazy right now out there, in different contexts and places. And then I was trying to think of, from my experience, if I were to look at my children, Josiah, who's 20, he's turning 22 this month, and Faith, who's turning, she'll be turning 19 in June, I was trying to think of words that would describe them, because I'm going to, obviously I'm speaking from my personal experience and the fruit that's in my children. And also, it's, you know, I feel like it has foundation in scripture, but this is not going to be like a typical sermon. So it's, I'm a little out of my box, because I like preaching the word, like scripture. And today I'm going to share. So it's going to be a little bit different for me, but I hope helpful for you. So I was thinking, you know, my kids have this thing in them where they just want a move of God. They just want revival. And they live lives of righteousness and holiness. It's very important to them. It's very important to them that they are just like have purity of heart and things like that. So that's kind of where a little bit of where I got the title. Proverbs 22 verse 6, it says this, direct your children in through the right path, and when they're older, they will not leave it. I'm sure you've heard the version, train a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart. I love the way, I think the Amplified says it. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. And then in brackets it says, and in keeping with his individual gift or bent, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. And then even when he's old, he won't depart from it. So I love that. So I'll just give a brief kind of snapshot of our family real quick. So Craig and I met in college, and we came from opposite sides of the country. This is in Canada. And we, you know, graduated college, got a ministry start, we were youth pastoring, things like that. We had Josiah actually 2 months before we graduated from Bible college. So he was at our graduation. And then we started as youth pastors. It was, you know, difficult with a little baby and ministry and things like that. And, you know, there's a lot that you're juggling. We were traveling a little bit. We were going to camps and conferences and things like that. We would just kind of take him. Then we decided to do a church plant. And so we went to this church plant in another city and moved there. And we were going to run a school of evangelism. So, but it never started. So we were pioneering it. So we created all the curriculum for it, wrote it, taught it. And then Craig would go one day and I would go the other. We were switching on and off because one of us would be home with Josiah. And so there's just like a lot of happening. Then, at 3 years old, Josiah, he was just part of everything. It was a cool time in our lives because the school was filled with young adults. And so that's who came to the school. So Josiah had all these like people to look up to in his life, which was really awesome. And, you know, they would be in our house like, you know, 6-7 days a week just there, and they'd be like coloring with him, playing with action figures, you know, like he was like really into like all Marvel and Spider-Man and all that. And I still picture him kind of like shooting webs through the house and all these things. And but he had these young adults that were just in his life, and that was really, really cool. Then our daughter Faith was born. Faith was born with a very complex heart defect, and she needed and has needed multiple open heart surgeries in her life, and she was not expected to live, and is an absolute miracle to this day. That was a whole other challenge in our lives. We moved from one city to another to be closer to better medical care for her, built a house, stepped out of full-time ministry for a little bit, you know, work, but we attended a church and we served in the nursery. And that's what we did. We were like, well, we're here, we should do something. So let's go in the nursery. So honestly, we just did that and prayed over those kids as we watched them and fed them about 100 crackers every service. Yeah. I mean, they have such capacity to eat crackers. Like, I don't even understand. Like, little kids just like, they always want more. So we did that a lot, and that was great. Then fast forward, we moved to San Diego. And, you know, we've been here. We went back to Canada. We came back here again. Our kids have grown up in ministry. They've gone to youth camps, conferences, young adults meetings, late nights. I mean, it's just, it's been hard. It's been hard. We could have done it differently. If we did, we would probably have a different outcome because we are all the product of what we do in our lives. But the sacrifice for Jesus was always worth it, and it did, in fact, reap a reward in our lives. So basically, I'm going to go through this list, and it's just a few thoughts to consider as you maybe are raising your family, or you suspect, you know, grandkids, or you just kind of want to learn a bit, or future kids, or whatever. It's not an exhaustive list. It's actually not a general parenting list. This is not general parenting, you know, counseling. This is things that we focused on with the intention of raising Jesus lovers, okay? So this is, like, very specific for that. Some bridge over a little bit. That's, like, good parenting, but it has a focus here. One thing I want to mention is that the main point is being the example. So if, as I go through these things, you're just like, I don't know if I want to do that. It's probably not going to work for your kids then. Because it's not like, you know, do what I say, not what I do. Like, that doesn't work. So it's kind of like, okay, I think I can do these things too. And then they're going to follow kind of how you lead them. Everybody good? Everybody got their snacks? Yeah. Okay. Let's go. Number one. Make the house of God a priority. Also, at the end, I will see if you have any questions. We can do some Q&A if you want. Or if you have any throughout, feel free to just kind of shout them out or let me know, because it can be conversational. I'm good with that. Make the house of God a priority. Nothing takes its place. Okay, guys? And again, this is not what I'm saying you have to do. This is what I'm saying we did. So it's what I'm like, it's a good suggestion from my point of view, but you have to follow your own path and submit everything to the Lord. Like, what are you asking me to do? But this is what worked for us. Today, our kids love Jesus more than anything. They are crazy in love with him. They are going to, both of them are leaving to go on mission trips in like less than 2 weeks. One's going to Germany, one's going to Amsterdam. You know, their Faith is going to Mexico with us to build a house this summer. Josiah can't go because he'll just be getting married, and his fiance right now won't be able to leave the country because she'll be getting her citizenship because she's from England. Anyway, that's just side note. But, you know, like, they love Jesus, and they're giving their lives for him. So that's kind of the fruit that we have. And then, so make the house of God a priority. This might be a fight, you know, depending on the age of your kids and as they're growing. I'm talking Sunday mornings. I'm talking putting them in kids ministry, youth ministry. This is also an unpopular opinion to make the house of God a priority. But honestly, I don't care. It is my opinion, and it's what worked for me. And it was hard. You know, you could look at my kids now and be like, oh, I bet it was easy for you. No, it wasn't. Sometimes they did not want to go. You know, I have watched the alternative. And although it kind of looks good in the season, kind of at the end of the road, it doesn't always look so good. Children are immature by nature, okay? That's not a slam against kids. They're supposed to be, right? They're immature adults. That's what they are. They're, like, growing. So, like, when you're like, oh, you're so immature, yeah, they're, like, exactly living up to where they should be, you know? So to let them make a decision of what's most valuable in their lives as they're growing is probably not a good idea. Because they don't know what's good for them. They don't know. So they're not supposed to know. We know. So we have to guide them and lead them. And Psalms 92 says, those who are planted in the house of God will flourish in the courts of the Lord. growing in grace, they will still thrive and bear fruit and prosper in their old age. So, you know, plant your kids in the house of God. They will flourish. And even in their old age, they will still bear fruit. That is a promise of Scripture. Planted means a root system. Plant them. This cannot and will not happen overnight. This is not a hit and miss, jumping around here and there. This is a root system. So if it's past their bedtime, kind of like, what do you do with that? You know, something coming up and you really want to be there. You feel like it's important, but it's past their bedtime. No one was more scheduled than we were with Josiah when he was little. Honestly, guys, if we didn't get him in bed by 6:37, he was crazy. If we put him in bed at midnight, he would still be up at 5 a.m., wanted to play in the backyard by 6 a.m. Like, I'm like, Dad. I'm like, oh my gosh, this child. You know, he was just crazy all the time. So we were very scheduled for him. But the one exception was the house of God. Because now, it didn't mean it was easy. It didn't mean, oh, there's all this grace, so it'll just be easy. No. It was still hard. But it was worth it. Because it's like once you push back against what's pushing against you, after a little bit, you kind of get your rhythm and the enemy kind of realizes, okay, they're not going to cave here, so I'm going to move over somewhere else. And so, you know, that's what we did. We knew that the house of God was the one thing in the end that would really help us with him, and we needed help. So that's what we did. The upside was good, even though the temporary pain was there. We didn't necessarily do it for movie nights or things like that. I mean, sometimes we're on vacation, it's different, but you know, we didn't do it for things that maybe wouldn't have lasting fruit and it would just be lots of tears. We didn't do it for that. But things that we knew would have a payback in our life, we did it for that. So if you're struggling sometimes, or if you reach the point in your life where kids don't want to come or it's hard, you know, you just encourage them in some way, make it better for them. And I'll touch on that in a minute. One thing that I've learned, and I didn't do this until my kids were a little bit older because I didn't know about it, but I had sat under a teaching once. It might have been Lisa Bevere, I'm not sure, who said that if you speak like how proud you are over your kids right before a worship set. So they're in church, they don't want to be there, they're acting up or whatever, or even they're just little and they're just like had a bad morning, you know, so they're just like cranky. If you put your arms around them and just say, I'm so proud of you, it positions their heart and their mind to receive what God has for them. There's like a switch. So I started doing that. And I think at first, because my kids were a little older when I started doing this every Sunday right before worship, I think they were kind of like, that's so random, you know, like, what a weird time to do this, you know, we're not even talking, and suddenly I'm like, I'm so proud of you, you know, they're like, okay, but honestly, I would see the switch in faith. She would just be sitting there, not want to be there, and then I'd be like, hey, I'm so proud of you. Next thing I know, she's standing up, and she's like worshiping, and I'm like, this is like a miracle, like what's, you know, but there was just something about positioning them to receive from the Father when they have the father or the mother's blessing over them. So that's just a little thing. Be the example, you know, in the house of God. One thing I think of when I think of this is Sylvia. She was kind of up here, and Sylvia's thing is like, she's just like, she goes for it. And now you see Elena doing the same thing. And so, and then Elena brings like a group, you know? So you see, Sylvia has done this since I've known her. She's just like, just going for it. And now Elena's going, and then she gathers people, and it's just like, it's powerful. So if you're an example, your kids will follow. They're going to follow your example no matter what. So, like, you know, if it's a good one, that's positive. Number two, make the home a place of refuge. Make the home a place of refuge. Cultivate a home that your kids want to be at. And that they feel, if they're little, that they feel good when they're there. Set tone. You know, I feel like, you know, the father sets leadership and the mom sets the tone. And so it's just really important. Don't allow stress of life to tip the scales of peace. in your home. You guys know, you want your home to be a refuge. You want it to be a haven. When you get there, you want to be like, at the end of the day, I'm home. And if your kids, especially as they grow and get into school problems and things like that, and teenagers and all that, like they need to know when they go home, I can breathe. You don't want them thinking, well, the last place I want to go home right now is because there's this or that, or mom is stressed about this, or they're fighting, or you know, you want them to be like, oh, I get to go home now. So that's one thing that we were really intentional about, and it's hard because life is hard. And if you did grow up in a peaceful home, you also know how important this is. So protect that. Protect the spiritual integrity of your home. Guard what comes in it. Children need a big filtration system in their lives. They need to be filtered. So they will rise to your standard, whether it's high or low. So if you, you know, protect what's watched, what's listened to, things like that, because it changes everything in the home. So if you can, you know, play more worship music and, you know, only allow shows that don't, you know, aren't demonic, you know, things like that, that's helpful for your kids because they're going to feel it. So that's number two. Number three, make the relationship work. Make the relationship work. So if you have a little child and you're just like, honestly, I don't even know how they're mine. They're nothing like me, you know. And sometimes if you have like a couple, like one you kind of like have like a bond with and the other you're like, they're like their father or their mother, you know. But make the relationship work no matter what, even if you feel different from them. Do whatever you can to understand and relate to. Listen, learn. Go. One thing I started to do, you know, you reach that point in your kid's life, and it doesn't take very long, where you're like, hey, like, how's your day? Good. You got any more? No. Anything cool happen? No. And they don't talk. And, like, this is, like, you need more. So I started doing this where if I could get them to go on a walk with me or sit with me, and I'd be like, hey, you want to go on a walk? And or you find something they like that is not like watching TV or something, so that there's empty space. And Faith used to like going on walks. So I'd be like, do you want to go on a walk? Oh, okay, I'll go on a walk. And we would go, and I would say nothing. We just walk. And it would be like nothing for a long time. And then because I created so much empty space, after a little bit, after her mind settled down and she was like chill, she began to tell me about her day. And next thing I know, my ears hurt. You know, I'm just like, wow, she's never going to stop talking. You know, this is like more than what I was expecting. But it's creating that empty space for her to fill. And so that's something that's really worked for me. So make the relationship work. God put you with your child, so even if you're different, there is an intention there. One thing that we did when our kids turned 14, we decided that to celebrate their 14th birthday, we're going to take them on a trip. And because it's like a really interesting age as they're like kind of growing, moving into the teenager, and it's kind of like, are we going to keep them? Are we going to lose them? Like what? Like what's happening here? We're scared, you know, because it's like they were really nice and now they're crazy, you know, and mean, you know, and we don't know what's happening. So we're like, well, when they turn 14, you know, 13, we'll do this big blow up, you know, because it's a teenager, and then 14, we'll take them on a trip. So the plan was for me to take Faith and Craig to take Josiah. And so both of us leading up to the trips with our children was kind of like, gosh, we're just really not connecting right now. I remember Craig thinking like, I don't know how this trip's going to go, you know, like 5 days alone with Josiah. Like, I don't know. Like sometimes it's tense. Like sometimes he doesn't want to talk, you know, and same with Faith. I was like, you know, it's going to be different. Just the two of us, you know, and like, do we have enough in common right now? Are we close enough, you know? And we went on these trips, and for both of us, obviously they were 3 years apart, those trips, it shifted everything. It shifted everything. Like, Craig and Josiah came back so bonded so tight as a father and son that even I was like, wow, like that's kind of crazy, because they used to like butt heads a lot, you know. And Faith and I, you know, I always wanted, you know, and as when Faith's a little girl, of course, we were like super tight. And then it's just kind of like, I don't know where this is going, you know, as she got older. But I wanted that connection with her, as you know, that friendship. And it changed everything. It shifted everything. And so, like, that's something you don't necessarily have to do, but maybe something similar is something to think about making the relationship work. And it worked for us. One thing is another thing is, don't say what you want to say and what you feel like you can't say all the time. So sometimes just don't say it, even if you're right. When they're little, when they're older, even if you're right, just sometimes don't say it. There's many times with my kids where I'm like, it's taking everything in me right now to not say what I want to say. But I'm not going to say it, because that's not going to help. It's really not going to help the situation right now. We're having a disagreement or whatever. So me getting a word in and making, you know, what I have to say, that's not as important as nurturing the relationship. So I just go like, okay. And then I leave it. And maybe later I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I didn't say that. That would have been such a wrong thing. Or later I'm like, well, now it's a better environment to say it. But I've had time to think about it. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And I believe that includes our children. Live at peace with your children, as far as it depends on you. Number four, make the hard stuff the norm. Don't avoid the hard topics. Don't just let it slide. Call them higher in every situation. Talk about the awkward. They need it. They're not necessarily going to like it at the beginning, but they will grow to get used to it. We don't like it either as parents. You know, we're kind of like, oh my gosh, do I really have to talk about this? But it really does reap a reward in your life later on. It could be a disagreement, you know, on something. It could be, you know, like, you know, relationship stuff and all that. We know we have to go through all those talks, but I'm not just talking about that. It could be they have a best friend in their life and it's a terrible friend and you need that friend out of their life. That's a hard conversation, you know, but don't avoid it. Go for it. Make the hard stuff normal and lovingly lead them through these conversations. I've sat and I've watched my kids cry as we've talked through tough things, you know, and I've lovingly let the weight of that tough thing sit. When I just want to take it away, I'd be like, oh, it's going to be fine, don't even worry about it, I'll handle it, you know. But I've let the weight sit. Because that grows them and matures in them. And then they realize, I can do this. Okay, I can handle this hard situation. I have my parents' support. They're going to, you know, and then we pray. We pray together. You know, that's going to be their life source more than anything else, really. Number five, make fun with Jesus the most fun and the most crazy. Resource them. If they're little, give them a cool Bible, something that has cool things in it. You know, maybe it's a comic one. I don't know. But like, make them something where they want to pick it up. And, you know, you're like lights out and they're hiding under their, you know, bedclothes reading the Bible because it's cool. You know, things like that resource them. Go to wild meetings where they can experience the presence of God. We've taken our kids to all kinds of things. Take them to Christian conferences or concerts. You know, if they don't want to go to church and you're like, well, we're going to church, pick up donuts on the way. And they're like, ooh, donuts. I'll go to church. You know, like, promise them ice cream after. Like, whatever works. You know, for your kids, just do it. Make it the most fun. I mean, you guys know, okay, these guys are like, they're on worship team, and then they're here Thursday night. So Nathaniel is here Thursday night, and I mean, it's amazing. He's just like chilling, but it's something you've just decided, we're in ministry, we're going to have him here. You know, so if there comes a point where he's just like, I don't want to go, you just like sweeten the deal, right? There you go. He picks his yummy surprise after breakfast. That's perfect. And that's what we always did. We just like made it the most fun. So whatever that could be, You know, it's helpful if you start when they're little. If you try to implement this once they're a little older, you're going to get a little more resistance because they won't have that rhythm of life already in practice. It's still not impossible. It's, you know, you just got to make the deal even sweeter because they're smarter and they just, they're like, it's not going to cut it. But yeah, so just, you know, make fun with Jesus the most fun. And do impactful things that are fun too, like missions trips, ministry trips, like whatever. This could be going downtown San Diego and feeding the homeless. You know, you don't have to go far, but it can be really impactful for kids to see that. And it's something that kind of we've done throughout, and that our kids still talk about it. And now they're doing it themselves. Faith, every time I talk to Faith, she's like, yeah, so we talked to this homeless person and we bought this thing and, you know, we prayed for it. Like, this is something that now is a regular part of her life. And when she went up to school in Reading, actually, and they start doing these, what they call activations, where they're out ministering to people on the street and things like that. And her friends would be like, oh, this is so scary. Like, I don't even know what to do. And she's like, oh, it's kind of like I've been doing this my whole life. It was just like the norm for her, you know? So that's just kind of a cool thing. We take our kids everywhere. We've done just radical things like, Stephanie, you're probably here for a lot of these things where we go down to Seaport Village, and there was one time we set up a spiritual reading table. Spiritual reading. That's what we called it. Really, we were prophesying. Really, we were in introducing people to Jesus. But they saw spiritual reading, and they were lining up at our table, not at the psychic's table, at our table. And we would just, like, prophesy over them. We're like, well, we actually follow Jesus, and so are you open to this? Yeah, yeah. Or dream interpretation. We did that once, and we were just, I mean, this is risky stuff. We're like, if God doesn't come through, we are fools, you know? And people would be like, oh, I had a weird dream. Like, can you interpret it? Well, we'll pray, and we believe that God will interpret it. Are you open to that? Yeah, we're open to that. So we would do it, and our kids were just right there sitting beside us listening to all this. So it became the norm. So just do crazy things. If you're like, I can't do that, find someone who will do it and just follow them and bring your kids. You know, like whatever it takes, or start small. Start small, like buying something for a homeless person, or, you know, your kids will start to, kids have a need for justice and rightness in the world now, and Gen Z, so they will, like, hop on these things when you start doing things that are of eternal impact. Number six, so, you know, those things are really important, those, you know, ministry things and cultivated, but also just basic memories are really important. Basic memories, like going on family vacations, you know, because this is creating intimacy as a family, you know, like, I love watching Johan and Tina and their stories of, like, everything they're doing, skiing, and like, Johan will take his child to, like, other parts of the world. Right? And to visit family and things. And this is creating memories in their family and vacations. But so it can be grand and big, or it can be Friday night movie night every week. That's what we're doing, you know? And they begin to look forward to it. It could be, guys, Costco samples. I'm serious. Like, still, like, if Faith came home, she'd be like, and we were, like, hanging out, she'd be like, should we go to Costco for samples? I'm like, it's a good time. We should go, you know, and this is just something that we do. And it's just like the little things, but it creates memories. We watch Faith and I watch Gilmore Girls. I don't know if you guys watch Gilmore Girls. Yeah. And it's like, it's just so funny. We have popcorn when she was here before she moved away, popcorn and Gilmore Girls every day, like every day, every day. Guys, that's extreme and crazy, but we have that now. And it's just really, really cool to have that forever. So it can be simple, it can be big. Number seven, make stories of wild encounters with Jesus commonplace. So if you want to raise a righteous, you know, kind of revivalist, someone who loves Jesus, talk to them about wild things of the Lord. And if you don't have any like personal stories, steal someone else's stories, read about them, read about old revivalists like Smith Wigglesworth, you know, and tell them those stories. They're just crazy. Just tell them everything. And before you know it, as your kids get older, they're going to get their own stories. When I was talking to Faith this week, we were on FaceTime, her, Craig and I, and we were talking for about an hour or so, and all we did was swap crazy stories of God things, just crazy, wild stories. I'd be like, oh, we need to tell you this thing that happened. And she'd be like, oh, I should tell you this thing. And that's it just kept going back and forth, back and forth. And that's just so cool to see that that has reaped its reward in her life. So, you know, and spiritual things. Like if you know stories of like demonic encounters where people have gotten freed, tell them that, because they are actually interested in spiritual things, so we want to focus them on the right spiritual things. So don't just be like, oh, we don't talk about that, or that's not real. No, it's real. But let me tell you the God version of those things. So Psalms 34, verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So if we never give them a taste, how are they going to know he's good? So we have to get them a taste. Number 8, make heaven as real as earth. It's actually more real than earth, because earth will pass away and heaven is eternal, the new heaven. So talk about heaven. When I was a kid, I was obsessed with heaven. My mom would tell me that she was actually concerned that like I was like maybe gonna die and go to heaven like really early, because like she's like, you talk about it all the time. But I really was. I was just like, I was fascinated by it. So like talk about it, learn about it, and you know, let the kids explore what that's like, encounters. Every night as our kids went to bed, we would always tuck them in, we'd pray over them, and sometimes sing or whatever, something silly. And then we would pray, lay hands on them, and pray that they would have supernatural encounters as they dreamed and as they slept every night. And his dreams have been wild in our house, I believe, because of it. So they would wake up and they'd be like, this happened in my dream. Or I'm feeling this. If your kids are ever feeling something, there's a good chance they're tapping into some spiritual things. Don't dismiss it. Just kind of lean into it and walk them through it. But invite it into their lives. Number 9, make prayer your number one asset. Nothing will help or protect or launch them like prayer. Let them see you pray. So every morning, Craig and I will, like, we get up, we work out, we make our breakfast, and we eat, and we sit there, and we're reading our Bible, you know, and our kids see that. Now, all day long, every day, we're not reading our Bible and praying, because that would be very absent, and we don't want to be unavailable to our kids. But they see the practice. You know, we do Saturday morning breakfast where the four of us would get together every Saturday morning, make a breakfast, and then we would create space to pray with them. Do you guys have anything, something happening at school? Do you want to pray? Or sometimes they'd be like, I have something I want to share. Faith, when she was little, she'd like bust out the Bible and like teach us something, you know? And you know, so, you know, just create those spaces for that. But prayer, also bring other people in on the prayer. If there's like a grandma, or maybe an adopted grandma, like maybe you're like, oh, my parents, they're not like into Jesus, like it's not a thing. But maybe there's someone in the church family that really is, and they can like grandparent your kid. Like ask them to pray for your child on a regular basis. When our kids were born, we gave both Craig's mom and my mom a book called Grandma, I Need Your Prayers. And it was just this cool like outline of what they could do to pray for their grandchildren for the rest of their life. And I was gonna read the prayer that my mom came up with, but I don't know, I'm kind of running out of time. But anyway, there was a prayer, I wrote it in the book I wrote, but basically she would pray this prayer over them every day, and it was like protecting them from all kinds of predators, and you know, like, and it was just releasing the kingdom of God. Every day she prayed this over them, and I believe that it was really impactful in their life. Number 10, make space by being present. When they're young, when they're older, I would argue they might even need it more as they get older. Kind of when they're young, you don't really have a choice. but as they get older, I think they need it more. Be part of their conversations. What are they going to do after high school? Pray about it. No, let them know they're not alone in their decision, that you support them. If they start to go the wrong way, you don't have to correct them right away, but just make space by being present. Present in the room, present for their struggles, present for their celebrations. You know, the saying, the days are long, but the years are short. Guys, it's so real. It's so real. It's like a blink and my kids are gone. And we're just by ourselves with our dog, Peaches. But Craig and I were sitting in the hot tub a couple weeks ago. And I said to him, man, all those years just went by so fast. You know, the last few, especially the high school ones, where we would sit out here with our almost grown kids in the evening in the hot tub, the four of us, and just talk. And it was like a blink and it was gone. And you never get that back. Of all the years that you have with your kids, they say that after they leave home, the cumulative amount of time that you have with them after they leave home is equivalent to a year. That's so sad. But also makes it so much more important what we do with the years that we have in the beginning. Direct your kids on the right path. When they're older, they will not leave it. Here's the deal. You do what you can, and then you lay it at Jesus' feet. The end result is not up to you. You just do what you can. If the end result is good, praise God. If the end result is not what you'd hope for, there's still hope. There's still hope in it. I'm going to end there. I think I'm already late, but does anyone have any questions? If you have to go, I understand. If you have a question, I'm willing to linger and answer the question, or you could like text me later or whatever. But I just want to encourage you guys. Make Jesus the number one. It is the one thing you will never regret in your kid's life. So let me pray for you. God, I pray for everyone here with kids, with grown kids, with young kids, with kids to be. God, and I just pray for your blessing on their lives. God, I pray for protection over their families, over their family units. God, I pray that you would hedge them in and keep them hidden in you. I pray for the ones that are going through struggles of dilemmas of, God, how do I fix this problem? God, I pray for divine insight and wisdom into it and creative solutions. I pray for miracles to be released in this place. I pray for reconciliation and hope to rise once again. God, and I pray as decisions are even made of future and you know, all the things that make up life, God, I pray that they would be, each one would be driven and guided by you and you alone, and they would be resilient in putting you first. In your name, amen.